The book of Amos was written by a man who was a shepherd and a sycamore planter or harvester. In other words, he was a farmer. He was someone who was going about his secular duties, and the Lord placed his hand upon him and called him into full-time ministry. And Amos found out very quickly that being a spokesman for the Lord, that being a minister of the Lord, is not an easy task. In fact, he came up a problem that many ministers come up against today, that the people to whom he was preaching didn't even really want to hear the word of God. Whenever Amos started to preach the message of God, there were those who tried to silence him. He was faithful, but people didn't want to hear. You see, they made a very important mistake. The mistake they made was that the message Amos preached was Amos's message. They forgot that it was God's message. And you know, many people today will sit in churches and they will say, I don't want to hear his message. I don't want to hear what the minister's saying. That's just something that he's making up. And yet, it's the word of God. And this morning, I do not seek to bring to you my thoughts. I do not seek to bring to you my wisdom, because it's very little. But I seek to bring to you the word of God. This is God's word. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, for they're higher than our thoughts and our ways. And therefore, just in the closing moments of this meeting, if I leave God's word before you, I would ask for your attention and consider the things that the Lord says. The verse I want to leave before you this morning is verse number 12. The text is very familiar. It says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. It's a very interesting command, because it tells us that there's something we have to do, something we have to be prepared for, something that we must do in order to meet God. Now, we have read from verse number 4 to verse number 12. And in these verses, it's interesting to note what Amos is doing. Amos is preaching to the people of the day who were religious people. And the message that Amos is giving to them from verse number 4 through to verse number 11, and you can read it again when you go home, the message is simply this. You seem to be religious. You seem to love the Lord. You seem to do everything for God, but the reality is that your heart is not right with God. You see, here were a people who sacrificed and who tithed and who gave offerings, but if you read in verse number 5, it says, this liketh you. In other words, these things please you. These things salve your conscience. These things make you happy. But read down the chapter and you'll find that these things did not please God. And if we were to put this into a modern analogy today, there are people in this congregation, and you come Sunday after Sunday, and you open God's word whenever the preacher takes out the Bible, and you give your tithes and your offerings, and you bow your head during the prayer, and you seem to be religious, you seem to appreciate and respect the things of God, and this is salving your conscience, and this is pleasing you, but your heart is not right with God. Is there someone in the meeting this morning, and you sat for years in this congregation, and in reality, you have never been to the Lord Jesus, you've never been washed in his precious blood, you've never been saved? Oh, we look at you this morning, you're dressed up for church, you've got your Bible with you. You look like a Christian, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And the Lord sees that you do not belong to him. The Lord sent different tragedies into the life of those people. And the reason for these tragedies, for the famine, for the drought, for the loss of their harvest, for the pestilence and for the war, was for one reason, that they would return unto God, that they would come unto God, that they would put their trust in him. And yet we read several times down this passage, ye have not returned unto me. And the Lord says, because you have not returned, and because you haven't been heeding my warnings, and because you haven't done all these things, therefore, verse number 12, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. And what he's saying here is really, you've ignored all the warnings. You pass by all the opportunities. Now you're standing on your own. Now the opportunities are over. Therefore, prepare to stand before God in the day of judgment. Prepare for the judgment of God, for that's all you've got left. And let me tell you something. No one can stand before God. No one can stand in their sin before a holy and righteous God. Many opportunities have been given to turn to God, but all were ignored. And there's a solemn warning in this passage for the people gathered in this church today who are not saved. Because there's coming a time your final gospel invitation will come. There's coming a time, the final warning from God's precious word will come. There's coming a time when the final gospel meeting will be attended, when the final Lord's day will come in your life. And then you will meet God. And therefore we can take this text and we can say to you unsaved this morning in this congregation, prepare to meet thy God. That is the subject we want to consider this morning, and I have three very simple thoughts upon this subject. The first thought is this, the one whom we shall meet. Who is the one that we're called to prepare to meet? It says, prepare to meet thy God. It is the Lord. It is the God, Jehovah, the one whom God's word reveals to us. We learn in God's word some important things about him. We learn in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 that he created the heavens and the earth. He is creator of all things. Everything you have this morning has been given to you by God. Everything you are is because of God. The breath in your body this morning has been given to you by God. The soul that is yours has been given to you by the one true Jehovah God. And one day it shall be returned unto him. He's the all-knowing God. He's the one that seeth all things. He's the one that knows all things. He looks this morning, not just upon your outward appearance, but he looks upon your heart this morning. He knows in this congregation those who love him, those who are saved, those who are backslidden. He knows those who are not saved. He knows those who are pretending to be saved. He knows those who made a false profession. You see, the Lord knows and he searches your heart. He's your creator. He's the all-knowing God. He's the holy God. He is a holy God. The scripture makes this very clear that he is absolute purity. He is a hatred of sin. Oh yes, he loves the sinner. Yes, he loves you so much that he would send his son to die for you. But friend, he hates your sin. And you make no mistake about it, you die in your sin. And you continue in the path of sin and you will find yourself in a lost eternity in hell. God will punish sin. God must punish sin. That is why he is a holy God. Not only that, he's also an unchanging God. Now if you go to some churches today and you listen to some ministers preach the word of God, you will find that they're preaching a different God from the God of Scripture. It seems to be that God's standards today have slipped, that the standards of Scripture are no longer applicable anymore. But let me tell you something, God hasn't changed. The God who called the children of Israel to be ye holy, for I am holy, is still the same God today. And he's still giving the same message today. God's people are to be a holy people. God's people are to be different from the world. We're so fickle, aren't we? Our hearts, they wax and they wane in our love for God. And sometimes things that are so entertaining and things that are so worldly can grab our attention. And we think, maybe we'll bring this into the church. And this might entertain people in. But friend, let me tell you, God is still holy today. God's word is a means of salvation still today. The preaching of God's word is how men and women, boys and girls, will be saved today. And anything else is contrary to the word of God and will not be blessed. But praise God, he's a God of love and he's a God of grace. And I've already said, he sent his son to die upon the cross of Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whenever we were calling for Christ to be crucified, oh, he died upon the cross for our sin. Whenever we hated him, whenever we rebelled against him, whenever we sinned and we enjoyed it, whenever we blasphemed, whenever we did all those things against God, yet at that time he died for us, when there was nothing lovely about us, the Savior came from glory to die as a substitute for sinners. He's a God of grace. And let me tell you how I know that this morning. Because if you're not saved, you're sitting in the gospel meeting, and that's grace. God has given you an opportunity to hear the gospel, an opportunity to hear that you can be saved, an opportunity to say you can be saved from sin and from death and from hell. Friend, that's grace this morning. But I want you to notice, secondly, the preparation that must be made. You see, it says, prepare to meet thy God. Preparation must be made because of who we are. We are sinners. We're born into this world as sinners. God is holy. And therefore there is a partition between the sinful man and a holy God. It's called sin. Sin separates you from God. And praying, it doesn't matter how much money you put in the offering plate, and it doesn't matter how many prayers you pray, and it doesn't matter how many gospel meetings you attend, sin will always separate you from God. You can do absolutely nothing to remove that barrier of sin. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ can. He can take away the barrier of sin. What is the preparation that must be made? Well, the first thing is this: my sin must be removed. I remember in Sunday school we sang a hymn, and it said, "There is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth can ever enter in." In other words, sinners can't enter into heaven. Sinners can't have peace with God. Sinners are not ready to meet God. And therefore that barrier of sin in our lives must be removed. But not only that, our nature has to be changed. Because you see, by our birth we're sinners. And not only do we need our sins forgiven, we need our hearts and our natures to be changed. We need new affections for the things of God. We need new desires for holiness. We need a transformation. And that's what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's a transformation. You see, some people preach that if you accept Christ as your Savior, you get your ticket to heaven and then just forget about it. Live whatever way you want to live and you've got your ticket for heaven. Put it in your back pocket as some type of assurance and things will be okay. That's not salvation offered in the Word of God. The salvation offered in the Word of God, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a reason for living now in Christ. There's a reason for getting up in the morning to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord, to live in the power of the Lord, to have victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. This is salvation that the Word of God offers. You now have a desire for the place of prayer. You have a desire to be in the company of God's people. You have a desire no longer to sing the trash of the world, but to sing praises that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a difference, because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in, he makes a transformation. So here's the question: how can I prepare to meet God? How can I be ready to meet God? How can I stand before God in the day of judgment and know everything is well? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said these words in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You prepare to meet God by turning to Jesus, turning away from your sin and repentance, and turning in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that when he died on the cross, he took the punishment for your sin. He died in my place. The hell that I deserved, Christ suffered in his own body on the tree. For every sin I've committed, my Savior suffered. For every wrong thought, deed, action I've committed, my Savior suffered. You see, some people don't like the cross preached today. Some people don't like the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being emphasized today. But let me tell you very clearly in this meeting, if there's no cross in your gospel and if there's no blood in your gospel, you can't be saved. Only through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ can men and women, boys and girls be saved. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And I'm telling you this morning to come to the Savior. Now listen carefully, come to the Savior. Not come to a church. This church cannot save you. Don't transform your life or reform your life by good living, for that won't save you. I'm not asking you to become a Protestant. I'm not asking you to become a Free Presbyterian. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Only Jesus can save you. You must come. You must ask the Lord for mercy. I love that passage in God's Word. For the publican, the tax collector, a very openly sinful man, went up to the temple and he cried these words, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That wasn't a big prayer. It wasn't a prayer full of lots of theology and lots of doctrine. But I'll tell you this, it was a prayer of faith. And the Lord heard that prayer of faith. It was a simple prayer. I was 7 years old, lying in a hospital bed in the Mid-Ulster Hospital in Muckerfield, and I'll never forget the night that I knew I wasn't ready to meet God. I knew if I died, I wasn't going to heaven. And praise God for the faithful teaching of Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. I knew what I needed to do to be saved. 7 years old, and I simply cried, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin and take me to heaven to be with you when I die. Amen." And I tell you something, I was only 7, but I knew I was saved. I couldn't sleep that night. I was anxious. I was annoyed. I had no peace with God. But let me tell you something. I slept soundly after it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ hears the cry of the sinner. a friend in this meeting, don't you worry that you don't know the right words to say. Don't you worry that you'll not say or do the right thing. If you truly desire salvation and you truly desire to turn from your sin, you come to the Savior. Let me tell you, He'll save you. And He will come and He will change your life. Finally, and as we close, I want to bring to you the solemnity of this command. Prepare to meet thy God. It's a solemn command because it brings us face to face with eternity. And the reality is, we're not on this earth forever. We're not on this earth forever. Young man, just Thursday, past the age of, in his 30s, died in a farm accident just outside Muckerfeld. And once again, in our community, we've known what it is to have tragedy come in with a young person's life being taken once again. Friend, we're not on this earth forever. We're walking towards death. There's coming a day, save the Lord's return, that we will close our eyes and our body will fall to the ground and our soul will go on to live in God's eternity. You know, it's that one subject, isn't it, that will bring solemnity into conversation. It's the one subject that will sober people up. It will stop them being frivolous. It will stop the laughter. Because we know that death is not the end. We know that one day we will stand before God. Are you prepared? It's a solemn command because it brings us face to face with eternity. It's a solemn command because we don't know when we'll meet God. And therefore, this is urgent business. I remember in primary school, in P3, we were coming towards the Christmas time. We were practicing for the school play and we were learning some of the Christmas carols and we all had parts in the play that we had to act out and whatnot. And yet, one morning we come in December, and the teacher gathered us around and told us that there wasn't going to be a play this year because one of the young boys in our class, just sitting down two seats from me, had got off the bus that evening and was knocked down by the bus on his way home from school. I was only 6 years old. That was the first time I really had ever heard of death. And that young boy was taken out into God's eternity. I remember in Sunday school, Muckerfell Pre-Presbyterian Church, at the age of 11 and P7, there was a young girl came to her Sunday school class, and not long after she came and she got saved, she went to hospital and turned out she had leukemia. And there was no cure for her. At the age of 12, she passed into the presence of the Lord. I remember my grandfather leaving me to the airport with my mum and dad whenever I was about 15. We were going to Jersey for our holidays, and they hugged us and they said, "We'll see you when you get back." And yet a few days later, a phone call to come home because they passed into eternity. You see, friend, I give you these examples to show you that death is no respecter of persons. There is coming a day whenever we shall pass from time into eternity. And I don't know when that is, but I know that God's word says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In the will of God, tonight I'm going to testify and to sing in Port of Oge Free Presbyterian Church, but that's in the will of God. But I know this, if the Lord should call me from this scene of time between then and now, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. Is that your testimony? Friend, if this night thy soul should be required of thee, would it be absent from the body, present with the Lord? Because if that's not your testimony, here's the other side of the coin. It's absent from the body into the damned of hell. And what a solemn thing that is. Friend, are you prepared? Are you prepared? And finally, and this is my closing thought, this is a solemn command because there's the possibility that there are people in this congregation and you'll ignore God's command. And you'll leave this building the same way you come in your sin. You see, I can't save you this morning. I cannot save you. I cannot carry you to the cross. I can only lay the claims and the truths of God's precious word before you. And after that, what you do is between you and the Lord. But I beg you, don't refuse or disobey God's word. This is not my gospel, it's God's. I would say with the words of Scripture, be wise, consider your latter end. You say to me, I'm young in this meeting. This is a youth service. There are many young people in this church. Great to see you. But perhaps the temptation for you is to think, well, you know, I live a little first, and then I get saved. I go try the things of the world first, and then I'll get saved. I want to go to the clubs. I want to go to the pubs. I want to do the things that all my friends are doing, and then I get saved. Friend, the Word of God says, prepare now. Now. Prepare now to meet thy God. And let me tell you something. The clubs won't be worth their fun whenever you're in hell. and the drugs and alcohol and immorality won't be worth the highs you're getting whenever you're in a lost eternity without any hope of salvation. Your pride and your upright character won't be worth that when you stand before God, friend, if you're not saved. In the days whenever the United States was being discovered, and when they were going across from the east to the west, and the pioneers were going across that land to start new communities, they set off in large groups with their horses and their wagons, and everything was gathered together. And as they started to go across the prairie lands, they realized that there was a very great danger that was going to face them. And the danger was prairie fires. And when a prairie fire started in the United States, there was so much vegetation, and the wind came along and it swept along at such an alarming rate that people couldn't outrun it. And they realized very quickly they were going to have to find a way to escape the dangers of prairie fires. Someone came up with an ingenious solution. They discovered that if you lit a designated area and let it burn, and then put the fire out, and then stand in the area which already had been burned, whenever the prairie fires came, they passed around the burnt area and kept the people safe who were in the area. They realized that very quickly, and they were able to make their way across the United States. The judgment of the Lord is coming. It's going to sweep by every man, woman, boy, and girl. And friend, for those who are not saved, it's going to sweep you into hell. But there is a place where there's safety. And it's at the cross. And if you're standing at the cross, there's nothing to fear. Because the judgment of God will pass over. Do you know why? Because God's judgment has already fallen at Calvary. And if you're standing at the cross, you're in the place of acceptance before God. Friend, are you at the cross today? Have you been to Calvary? Are you in the place of safety, the place of refuge? Are you in the place where you know it's well with your soul? Listen to me. Nothing else matters. You come to the end of your days. Doesn't matter what car you drove. Doesn't matter what type of house you lived in. Really doesn't matter what job you did or how much money was in the bank. Here's all that matters. Were you saved? Were you saved? And the reality is, you can be this morning. He's ready. He's willing to save the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And this morning, if you want to be saved, will you not call on him? I'm going to be around for a few minutes after the service, and I can't save you, but I'd be delighted to open God's precious word and show you how you can be saved. And if you want to be saved or want to speak to one of us, the Reverend Elliot or myself, please come and do that. But friend, I beg you, don't leave the meeting without Christ. Prepare to meet thy God.